I want to speak to Margaret Gallagher from the NSPCC, who's available to have a conversation with us this morning. How do we stop this online bullying? It's a topic we've touched on many times on this programme. However, this morning, shocking figures have been released by the NSPCC. The charity says cases of online bullying have risen by 88% in 5 years. And Margaret is from the charity. Margaret, good morning. Good morning, Margaret.
Yeah, thank you for having us on today to discuss this with you.
Margaret, it's a pleasure. Absolutely. Anything that's going to help the kids be happier, we're more than happy to be a conduit for it. Now, the cases of online bullying have risen by 88% in 5 years. I suppose we shouldn't be surprised because online has blossomed in the last 5 years.
Yeah, we know that that's the main way that children and young people contact ourselves now. Over 70% of contacts to Childline are in an online method, or way by phone or by our website. So we know it is a chosen method of communication. So yes, I agree with you that we shouldn't be surprised. But I suppose we are just concerned that given the amount of work that has been done with children and young people, that we're continuing to see bullying behaviours escalating in such a way over that time period. It still is quite startling, I suppose, for us in terms of the amount of information we put out there for children and young people around the behaviour that would be a good way to behave online and the things that we would hope that they wouldn't do with other children and young people or they experience themselves from others.
Give me examples of what the bullying is like. How does it manifest itself?
Well, we would have different cases. One girl example we have is a young girl, she's around 14, and somebody had taken photos of her at school. They had been posted on the Snapchat, which is an app, and commented that she was fat and ugly, and that she would never have a boyfriend. And at that age, at that period of development, this child was very, very upset and actually was very, very mentally, it affected her desperately.
But let me stop there, because if we have a 14-year-old who maybe is a little overweight, or maybe is caught in an off moment where she hasn't her hair right, or she's slipped and fallen and she just looks a bit awkward, and someone takes a photograph and posts that up, that is cruelty beyond belief. Well, I can't imagine that children who other 14-year-olds, her peer group, could be that cruel. How horrible are some kids?
Well, I suppose some children do make decisions in the moment, which they maybe on reflection wouldn't do. But at that time, they either think it's funny, or there is, an element where they want to either control another person, or they may have issues themselves around their own behaviour. But how they choose to do that and put it in a very public way, even in the past, Frank, if someone had called someone that in a playground or at school, only maybe 3 or 4 people would have seen or heard it. But now the way it's sort of amplified and magnified online, for the child that is experiencing it, it feels absolutely humiliating and indeed very public. And I suppose, as you say, that there is also pressures around how young girls particularly and young boys look now, how they appear online, how they pose for photographs. So for somebody to take a photograph without your consent and then put it online and then tag you and say how unattractive you are is a massive thing for a child of that age. But we have younger children as well.
I want us to stay with this 14-year-old for a moment. What steps are being taken to ensure that the other kids who did that in the school are being punished?
Well, I suppose it really is to do with Snapchat, and these are personal devices. So I suppose it would be regarding the school's policy themselves for the children, but also the parents, in terms of appropriate use of Snapchat and social media sites. And I think one of the things would be is that we would be advising the girl to talk to someone, to block the person, to remove them from their friends list, but also to then talk to someone, report it.
If the school can trace back, and they should be able to do it quite easily, who took the photograph, who posted that horrific comment about her shape up on Snapchat, surely the school has to be disciplining a kid that does that. If the child hit someone a slap in the school, they would be disciplined. So why would the school authorities not be suspending children like that?
Well, I suppose the girl knows the girl from school, but in the quote and in the case study I have, we don't know if the photograph was taken in school or in a school uniform. It could have been outside in the neighbourhood or whatever. So the circumstances would really be dependent on that. And we do have a very strong anti-bullying policies in places in the schools, and I'm sure that there would be action taken. We know there's very strong leadership in the schools around these issues, and they're very proactive around dealing with it when it's brought to attention, when it is appropriate for the school to be involved. Unfortunately, many of the cases happen outside of school. They happen at night, they happen in the evening times, they happen at weekends or in social situations as well, and really then the school doesn't, you know, it may not fall within the remit at that point.
You can understand how hatred would grow from that, how children, young people would grow to hate each other if they're being treated in such a demeaning way so publicly.
Well, I think there's an element here of parent control in that case. It's a child who feels that this is a more popular child and may not have the supports around her to help her weather through that experience, build her self-esteem and build her self-confidence. She doesn't appear to be in a position of power to really take on and tackle the child, maybe socially, in terms of having her own network of friends to come around her and sort of buoy her up and get her over that what has happened. So we would be concerned with children like that who say that maybe feeling isolated and may feel that they don't have support systems around them. And that's why it's really important that family and friends don't underestimate and don't minimise issues of bullying. And that's what some of our research has told us as well, that sometimes when children do tell, that adults don't necessarily take it as seriously as the child would like and don't seem to really get the impact of what it's like to have that experience.
You can understand that. I don't know if girls will react like this, but I'm going back to when I was about 14, and if that had happened to me, and I just have to put my hands up here and be honest about how I would have reacted. If someone had said something really cruel like that to me, I would have hit them. You know, that would have been my reaction would have been to have gone over to them and to have hit them. Now, it is not the right thing to do. It is not the right thing for young men to get involved in fights if they are 13, 14 years of age. But when you're at that stage in your life and someone is particularly cruel to you, you can't think of any other way of dealing with it other than to get your own back immediately. It's not the right thing to do, but it's how we dealt with it. I'm just wondering, if kids today are being cruelly bullied like that, is that sowing the seeds in their heads and in their hearts of some form of physical reprisal, and therefore it's going to be a bigger issue? I'm just trying to visualise myself as a 14-year-old and how much you would hate the other 14-year-old who demeaned you, who belittled you, who treated you so cruelly. You would almost understand, especially in a male circumstance, the young fella going to the bully and smacking them in the face.
Well, you know, I don't think we're seeing evidence of that, but I think what we are seeing evidence is actually how it affects the child mentally. And I suppose that's probably where they don't maybe get to an angry stage. They get to a stage where they feel very low mood, they feel depressed, they have low self-esteem and low confidence. Because also bullying can go on over a period of time and in different ways. It could be in the real world as well as online. So the child often feels that it's a 24/7 experience for them. They may be experienced, in particularly with this case where the child knows the other person, in a daytime environment, but then it moves online. So unfortunately, you know, for the child, it really is internalised a lot of the time into their own behaviours towards themselves. Possibly the examples we have as well would be around self-harm and leading to depression and mental health, where they withdraw because they feel very isolated because of the experience, and they feel very humiliated. And so, you know, that is the main outcome that we're seeing for children and young people who contact us. In fact, in, you know, a quarter of the cases, we're actually seeing that it is the mental health is, you know, really being affected of these young people. And we know that that's a real concern for us, because while an incident like that may take a very short time to happen, to rebuild somebody's self-confidence and self-esteem takes a much longer period of time for them to feel confident again in themselves. So that's what concerns us as well, is that the long-term effect for the child is not automatic. Like, even if somebody says tomorrow, you know, ignore that, you'll be okay, it takes much longer for them to get their sense of self and get their confidence back. And I think we have been seeing bullying being presented to Childline and to the NSPCC since the very inception of Childline. And we know that every new group of children and young people need to be supported to understand what's acceptable, what's not. It's not normal. It's not just part of growing up. And we also need adults and those that support children to understand that it has a devastating effect on their mental health, and that we really need to address it as early as possible and really, you know, tackle it at every opportunity. And I suppose concerning for us too, Frank, is our report would say that physical bullying is the top concern for kids who are contacting us by Childline for under 11. You know, there's peer pressure for the 12 to 15-year-olds, and online bullying is a top issue for 16 to 18-year-olds. So we have a whole spectrum of different types of bullying as well. And, you know, it's hard for children to manage, if they have this experience, to manage it in their day-to-day life. And we really want adults, particularly those listening today, to be very aware of maybe some of the things they can do to help the child and help protect them from the abuse.
I just don't know how the kids cope. You know, I get abuse for the work that I do, and I'm on the radio and I'm, you know, on the TV, and there are plenty of trolls out there who give us stick. Some of it is very cruel. Some of it's incredibly funny, but it's pretty constant. Now, if you get to my stage in life, you can take it in your stride. And I should say, a lot of the people who contribute to online are very complimentary as well, so that balances it out. But if you were easily offended or easily hurt, you know, you wouldn't be reading what is printed about you online and the smart comments that some people make. But that's easy to cope with when you're a middle-aged man. It's almost impossible for a 13 or 14-year-old girl or boy to take that sort of stick. And I just don't know how they possibly manage to get through their day with it. How many of them would know who the bullies are? Or are some of the bullies hidden behind, as the trolls would be who follow us on the radio programmes, are they hidden behind some sort of, you know, fake picture on the likes of Twitter?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's online gaming sites which, you know, you may know the person in real life, but you may not. Some examples would be, particularly for boys who are going on these sites, and people that they've been playing with for a number of months and been getting on fine with, then suddenly turning on them. So maybe people that they know from online games but who aren't really friends. And there are anonymity apps, and those are things that actually allow for a person to remain anonymous, and therefore they really encourage, you know, for us, from our perspective, there's someone we know are quite risky because the child never knows who this other person is, that they're anonymous. They can be linked to the location that you're at within a certain radius, so very local communities, and they can identify children within them, bypassing the sort of safety that the apps have put in place to not name children. We've seen that happen in certain areas. So there's many different ways where it can be anonymous, and also it can be that they know them, but that you know, a child may find it difficult to challenge this person, particularly if the person is considered to be a powerful member of their peer group, or maybe that they themselves, you know, just haven't been talking to their parents about what's been happening, and maybe it's escalated to the point where they feel difficult to try and explain to their parents what has happened online. And that, you know, I know I've spoken to you before, Frank, that key to all of this is the conversations that we have with our children early and often about these issues.
That's how to avoid the bullying happening. But how do we discipline the bully? How do we get even with the bully? How do we stop the bully?
Well, you can be reporting bullying behaviour, blocking them, reporting them to the site or the app that you're using. You can block them yourself, making sure your privacy settings are locked down, and also say if there are other issues, then there, of course, is the police and other places where you can report as well. There's the CEOP for other types of exploitation online, CEOP click abuse button, but there is also our local police if it's something that feels it needs, the family may need support through that process. There's also that as an option. There are many different options, but I say it will depend on the instance and the severity and where the child, what the child tells and who they tell.
Okay. And just before we go, Margaret, I'm out of time on it, but you mentioned briefly the physical bullying. Physical bullying still alive and well?
Yes. It is there. I mean, say that's our general context around bullying about online world and offline, obviously it's in the real world, particularly for younger kids, it's one of the top concerns. And, you know, we just know we need to educate children from day one, as soon as we can, around what's acceptable behaviour and what they shouldn't be accepting as behaviour. And it's not normal and it's not okay, but it is there. And say, we have all different types of bullying. There's emotional abuse as well, and various things that we are becoming, you know, aware of more and more. And, you know, there's a lot of perhaps even racial and homophobic bullying again. All these things, it's anti-bullying week. They're all different ways it happens. But the experience of the child is really key to it, and getting the child help as soon as possible.
But we should say that most children aren't being bullied and most children aren't bullies.
Yes.
That's important. That's a very important point to make. But anti-bullying week, it's important to highlight it, and it is essential that we beat the bully in whatever legal way there is of beating him or her. Margaret, good speaking to you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Frank.
That indeed is the NSPCC's representative speaking to us during the course of Anti-Bullying Week.